Welcome to Calvary Chapel Sebastian Podcast. We believe that God's Word transforms our lives. We hope that you're blessed by this message.
We want to welcome the podcast listeners that are just checking into this service. We're glad you're joining us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. And I just want to say, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers are going to put a Bible in your hand. Many hands are up there. If you're at home on the podcast, go ahead and get your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be studying the verses 19 through 24. I just want to say, if you knew that song that was playing during meet and greet, shame on you. You should be in church. Yeah. Listen. Yeah, I got saved at 35, so you let your imagination run with that one. Yeah, well, you know, why did we play that song? Well, tonight we're going to talk about money. Jesus is going to talk to us a little bit about what we focus on. He's going to talk to us about our treasures and what we consider treasures here on earth, okay? So you turn to your Bible, chapter 6. And I want to get us all on the same page. So let's just come into an agreement right now. I'm going to make some statements because I think tonight it's important to understand that everything we own, so think about what you own, whether it's your house, your cars, your stocks, everything that you own, everything you accumulated, your furniture, whatever it is, everything you own, everything you have tonight, everything that you have accumulated, all of it comes from God. It comes from God, our Lord and our provider. In fact, the Bible calls God Jehovah what? Jireh. What does that mean? That means the Lord, our provider. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I have everything because I worked hard all my life. Yeah, that's true. But you had to have health in order to do that, didn't you? And God, the Bible says that God holds us in the palms of his hands. He gave you the brain. He gave you the intelligence. And he says, seek me when you lack wisdom and I'll give it generously without finding fault. And so everything that we have to at least come to the understanding that it all comes from God. Everything that flows into our hands, our whole entire life first flows through the hands of God. Would you agree with that statement? And God wants us to understand that. He wants us, when we abide in God, when we trust in God, when we walk as believers and we're followers of Christ, we place ourselves under his protection, his authority, his provision for all of our lives. And that's not always easy in our lives, is it? Because we have ups and we have downs, we have mountains, we have valleys, we lose our jobs, we have health things. But at the end of the day, God says, what? I have a plan for you. A plan to prosper you and not harm you. And so tonight, whatever we drove in with, whatever we left from, and whatever we have in the bank and the health that we carry, we owe it all to God. That's enough to raise a hallelujah as we sang, right? Amen. Hallelujah. But I also want us to all understand and be on the same page that while we're on earth, that God has made us temporary stewards of all finances that he provides to us. We're temporary stewards. We don't get to take it to heaven with us. We just use it. It just flows through us. But God gives us instruction on how we're to handle that. There's some people where everything that flows into our lives comes flowing through the hands of God, but it stops with the person. It never goes anywhere else. And God says, it's just like a kitchen sink, right? If the water doesn't flow through, there's a problem. And God looks at us as stewards that way. He says, I'm going to pour blessings into you. We're going to learn tonight that everything he gives, it flows through him to us. But if we don't flow it back out for the kingdom purpose, then he says, I'll dry it up. I can't trust you with these things. And so we're going to go through some of these verses, but I want us to understand that in this passage tonight, Jesus is going to examine all of our attitudes towards wealth, how we look at money. He's going to use our wealth and our ownership of our money to gauge our spiritual maturity as well. And so it's kind of like a maturity check on what we think, what we believe about money. Is it ours? Is it God's? Do we share it? What's the purpose for all of it? So you're in verse 19. We're going to start with that first verse. Look down with me. We'll read it together. Do not, you can underline those words, store up. Do not store up for yourselves, underlined that word, yourselves. We'll talk a lot about that. treasures on earth. You can just underline treasures. We're going to talk about those three words, stored up, yourselves, and treasures. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so I was thinking about that. Who here has watched the program on the network channel TLC called Hoarders Buried Alive? Let me see a show of hands. You ever see that? Maybe not. Some of you don't. Wow, I thought everybody knew about that. Well, that show is about an extreme version of people that are just so consumed with collecting things and buying things to the point where it affects their health. They can't walk through the house, right? Is that the best way to describe that? So here's the question I ask those of you who watch. Why do we watch that show?
So we don't do it.
So we don't do it, okay. Yeah. When I click through and I see that and I stop for a little bit, I stay on that channel because it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating how someone could consume that much and have that much in their home. For you neat freaks, that show freaks you out. Maybe you're a neat freak and you watch that show and you go, I'm just watching it to get to the end because I know the van's gonna come, the dump truck's gonna come, the family's gonna come, the pets are gonna go. Like, that house is gonna get cleaned up. And so some of you watch it just to go, yes, with another clean house. You like to see that. But I was thinking about that. It boggles our mind how someone, you always look at the person in there. Aren't they always like aloof to what they're in, what they're living in? It's like, it's not real. It's like, they don't know how to think. They don't know how to function. It boggles my mind how someone in that situation cannot look at their situation and see how it's affecting them. They can't move through their house. They can't cook. They don't have a place to sleep. They can't get into their shower or their tub because there's so much stuff stacked all over that. The house is unsanitary. And all this is taking up residence. And it's like they're clueless. It's like they don't understand that. And it's all because of the result of their spending habits, their accumulation of worldly stuff, material stuff. And as we watch, we can't fathom how someone could collect all that. And then we listen, we kind of discover after watching it for a little while that we find out that these people have a real serious problem. It goes much deeper for the reason why they spend this money on material things. They're looking for satisfaction, aren't they? They're looking to fill a void. Maybe they're dealing with anxiety, and when they do this and they spend, it's a mental disorder. It's an anxiety disorder, as I was studying that they cling to that. And they're hoping that collecting stuff will bring them value or temporary worth or temporary happiness in their lives. And usually they're alone. They don't have people in their lives that much that we see. And I understand that this show is dealing with the extreme habit, but honestly, by nature, don't we all have that tendency to want to have stuff? Maybe not to that extreme, but we have a desire. I feel like it's almost like built into us, that we want stuff, that we like to have nice stuff. All of us like to have nice stuff. All of us have desires to have a nice vehicle to drive or to have a nice home to live in or to have nice things for your kids or for your family or to go on nice vacations or to have a nice time or go to a nice restaurant. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You agree? It's okay to have those nice things. We all can see ourselves in that way. And Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand or a lazy hand causes poverty, but the hand of a diligent makes rich. So the Bible talks a lot about wealth. It doesn't look down like if you're wealthy, that's a bad thing. That's not what it says, right? But the first words in verse 19 is what I had you underline. I want us to look at that tonight. Those words store up. Those two words store up, you know what that means? It means to accumulate, to compile something together, to collect something together. It places an emphasis on hoarding, maybe even our wealth for ourselves, that we have this tendency. And we all have a tendency. How many of you have heard this phrase from your grandma and grandpa where they say, save it for a what? Rainy day. Well, today rained. Does that mean we spend it all today? Right? We're trained, we're raised to do that. And I think it's okay. We went through Dave Ramsey, FPU, Financial Peace University. Many of you went through that. All of us went through that. And what does it say? If you go through the STEP program, we all went through it. It says what? Save up for the future. Save up for that rainy day. Put away money aside. And so it's not bad to want to save. It's not bad to want to collect wealth. You with me? But there's a balance in all of this. And there's so much scripture in the Bible that tells us where is the balance when it comes to God entrusting us to be a financial steward of his money that he gives us. And so Jesus, understanding this text, wasn't making an absolute charge against gathering wealth for ourselves, but he was teaching us that money is to be used also for an internal investment. And that's probably the biggest part that you and I lack, because if we're honest, we have our bills, we have our debt, which could be college loans or, you know, the refrigerator broke or my roof is leaking from the hurricane or whatever. We all find ourselves in that hamster wheel, like just when we, how many of you are like, I just got ahead and then something happens, right? And you're like, can't we have anything nice? Can I have something put away, right? And so sometimes that distracts us from internal investment. And I believe that, you know, the latest, and we'll talk about tithing for a minute, but most models of church that we look at, it says that about 8% of people tithe to the church. And I'm thinking, well, there's 92% other people sitting in the chairs. And you know what I believe, church? I believe that that 92%, so you think about a Sunday, we're packed in here on Sunday. And I think about eight of those people on Sunday tithed. The other 92 people in the chairs, they didn't tithe. And you know what? I don't think it's not that they don't want to tithe. I think they love God. I think they trust God. But I think that they've been distracted by the other things. And this is why I think this is good to go through. In Calvary Chapel, we go through the Bible verse by verse, book by book, because Jesus addresses these things. But I'm thinking, what would it be like if those 92% understood the balance of what God's given them and then how to move forward with that? And I thought about that and I thought, this is exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't store up your treasures for earth, but store it up for the kingdom. Help with the kingdom work. Help with the spread of the gospel. What would that look like if the stats were 100%, what we could do in the last days that Jesus has us here. And so God desires for us to have a spiritually mature understanding with the balance on how do we approach our money. And so turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Two more chapters towards the back of the Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 16. And we're going to see an example. Now, this is a parable that Jesus is talking about. And we're going to see this parable. And this is going to be an example of what Jesus, he's telling this parable. He's saying, this is an example of poor stewardship. And I'm going to point to you three things in this that are going to be triggers to understand what's wrong with this picture. What's wrong with this person who God has given plenty to, but what tripped him up from being storing his treasures for heaven. And so this is an example. You can just write on top of the Bible if you like to write in your Bible. Poor stewardship of God's provision. Just on that verse, verse 16. But you're there in verse 16. Everybody there? Say yeah. All right. Verse 16, Jesus spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. I just want to stop right there. Remember I said that everything that flows into our lives comes from God, right? So God is richly pouring his blessings out upon this man whose harvest, the Bible talks in Proverbs about, if you're lazy and you don't harvest in the fall, you'll have nothing. And so we see that this guy did his diligence to harvest and he yielded, the ground yielded plentiful, it says. So God is blessing him here, okay? Verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Now, this is a great example. I thought of hoarders, and I thought, this is a great example of a biblical hoarder way back then. He's saying, I have all this bountiful harvest. I don't even know what to do with it. I don't even have enough buildings to store it in. So now he's like, well, do I give it away? Do I share it with my neighbors? No, what's he say? I'm going to hoard it. Look what he says in verse 18. He's thinking himself. He's only consulting himself, right? In verse 18, it says, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. Verse 20, but God says to him, what? You fool. Woe to you, fool, right? This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is a clear picture of a man that God has blessed abundantly, but he didn't know how to handle and store up his treasure. So I'm going to give you three problems with this story if you're taken down. First thing I want you to write down is he looked into his own wisdom and not God's. You see that in the text when we read that? He looked into his own wisdom and not God's. He thought, remember I said himself, I put an emphasis on these words to draw the point. He looked into his own wisdom. He says, I will do this and I will do that. He doesn't consult God, the giver of all things, the giver of the plentiful bounty, did he? He says, I'll come up with what I'm going to do it. And I want to say tonight, we have been given God's wisdom in the Word of God of how to handle our finances. Here's an example. Well, what is that? Well, this is just all the Word together. But what's the first thing God says to do with our bountiful harvest? He says to tithe, right? The first fruits off the top of what he's given us. That's the tithing part of it. Now, that tithing, that 10% as we went over earlier in Numbers, Old Testament, right? New Testament says, give with your heart, right? Be a cheerful giver or don't give at all. It's all about the heart, Jesus was exposing a couple weeks ago. Remember that teaching? But God's design for how to have balance in our life with the wealth as he gives us is the first fruits is a tithe. It's the 10th off the top. Now, what happens with that, that's where the heavenly treasures come. That's where that tithe provides for the missionaries that the church sends out. It provides for the expansion of a building when you grow. It provides for more staff when there's greater need for the people, for greater people. It provides for giving to the community. It provides for missionaries that are for internet, for the teachings, our weekend teachings that reach all around the world. It provides for the mission trips to Africa that we go to. Each one of our Calvary Chapel pastor missionaries get a monthly check from Calvary Chapel of Melbourne because we're supporting their ministries. It's kingdom work. It's kingdom-minded. That's where your tithes go. That's where my tithes go. And God says, that's the first thing you do. The second thing that we get from Scripture when we pull it all together is pay what we owe. Pay your bills on time. Be of good standard. Be of good credit, right? Caesar says, pay your taxes. So God wants us to tithe to the kingdom's work, pay your debtors, be upright. Don't run from your debt. Make an attempt to pay it. Pay it. Pay your debtors, and then save for future retirement. There's so many scriptures all throughout Proverbs and Psalms that says we're to put aside. We're to put aside. We're to build for the future. We're to build for retirement. The Bible even talks about leaving an inheritance for our children. I don't know about that one. I don't know if I'll get there. But the Bible talks about leaving an inheritance for our children. And so God's given us this balance of wisdom on how to handle our earthly wealth. But the second mistake that I see in this story, if you want to write it down, is that the man saw himself as a sole owner of his wealth. He was a sole proprietor. I did this. That harvest is mine. You heard me say, I, my. It wasn't God's. It wasn't God gave me this. It wasn't God provides. Notice his attitude. They're my crops, my goods, my barn. And God's the one that provided this wealth for this man. And the problem with that is this man was self-made, selfish, and prideful. And we've all been there sometimes. Well, I've got a great education. I have a master's in this. Or I've worked hard for 30 years in a company. I should be a CEO. I should be making this kind of money. But I got to take us back to what we first agreed on, and that is everything we have, God has provided for us. God doesn't want us to be prideful with what we have. God doesn't want us to take self-reliance of what we have. Yes, we're to work hard. Yes, we're to diligently provide. But God's the one whom sees that. And then the third mistake I want to cover is he made himself useless for God's purpose. Notice what it says. Instead of helping his fellow man, I happen to believe that this parable probably had neighbors. I happen to believe that maybe there were people around him that had great need. Instead of looking around for the needs of others and seeing how he could be an example of God and that he would use his wealth to be a tool to help someone, he says, I'll just build bigger barns. I'll just store up more for myself. Instead of doing that, what did it say? He laid back and he partied hardy and he retired. Be happy. It was all about him. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with retirement. I don't think any of us are truly retired. If you are fortunate enough to be retired today, and praise God, but God's not done with you. You're here. You're serving. You're not retired for Jesus. So if we don't have a 40-hour job to go to, make yourself available for the kingdom's work. Make yourself available for the church. Make yourself available to disciple a young man or to help with a project. But we never retire from the Lord, right? If that's all it's about, then take us home, Lord. But we're never to be retired for the Lord's work. But notice this man, party hardy and retired. And what did God say? God identified him as a what? He called him a fool. He goes, you fool. God deemed this man useless to him. And what does it say? Riches for himself and not for the kingdom. And this is a great example. And sometimes our approach to life, and God says, don't think that way when it comes to our earthly treasures. Look at verse 21 still. So he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. That's what I want to talk to you about next. So turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to pick back up in verse 21. I'm going to talk to you about treasure. Treasures. Remember, I had you underline that word treasure. And you're there. Look at verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your what? Your heart will also be. See, Jesus in this verse, verse 21, draws the conclusion that you and I can only have our treasure and our hearts. He's connecting our treasure and our hearts together now. He's looking at the motive. He's looking at the internal belief of what we believe about our own wealth. And he's saying that you and I can only have our treasure and our hearts in one place. He's saying we can't store up our treasure on earth and on heaven at the same time. He's saying our hearts can't be divided on this. So the question is, maybe you're sitting here going, okay, what is my treasure? I have a definition up on the screen so we can kind of identify with it as I thought about this. What I believe treasure is and how we look at the word treasure in this text is what we value most. What we value most. Now, when I say we, I'm not saying put on your God cloak. I'm not saying put on your religious Bible cloak. I'm saying have an open, honest conversation with yourself and go, right now, tonight, what do I value most in my life? In other words, what do I think about the most? Do I think about my job? Do I think about what I want to buy next? We were just looking at Corvettes earlier tonight in this room. We were. I was like, this is golden. You can't believe what I'm going to teach on tonight. What do we think about? What consumes our minds? And I'll say this, more than God. More than godly things, more than the gospel, more than maybe what your church is doing or what you're doing. What consumes us? And I would venture to say that whatever consumes us, maybe more than God, is what we value. And when we talk about value, I'm going to say this, what we value is where we place our priorities. Think about that. Priorities. You want to come to a Bible study? No, I'm going to work overtime. Nothing wrong with working overtime, but what's driving that? What's the priority there? Why are you working overtime? If it's to pay bills, great. I get that. If it's to pay off debt, great. I get that. But what do we place our value in? Is our priorities that we think about, is it self-centered? Is our priority God-centered? Do we have a balance? Are we always over here thinking about God and church and the gospel and maybe rejecting our family and our finances and our situations over here? We got to be careful. I'm talking about balance. I'm not just hitting you up for your wallet tonight, which I'm not. I already took the offering. We won't take another one, but we got another one on Saturday and Sunday. But what I'm saying is, when I want to talk to you a little bit about balance, it goes both ways. You can't be over here neglecting your finances and your family and your bills, all because you're over here going, bless God, I got to make God happy. I got to be at church all the time. I got to serve all the time. I got to give as much as I can. Meanwhile, the credit card at 28% is racking up over here, and you're going, but I got to tithe over here to God. If that's you, come and see Pastor Craig. He's here all the time. Call him up. Say, hey, I got to find some balance here. I'm in debt. It's taking more of this. This is like freaking my family out here. I got to get this in balance. And Craig will walk you through how to get back into balance to honor God, because he understands, right? He's not a God that's angry. He understands. He doesn't want us to be way over here in debt. The kingdom's going to do just fine, maybe for a while, 8 months, 9 months, okay? But get with Craig. Let's get balance in our lives, okay? But it's important. We're talking about balance here. Jesus is not saying this as pastor that it's wrong to possess earthly treasure. So if you're looking at a vet in church, don't be convicted, because I'm going to expose my thing here up on the screen soon too. But Jesus is not saying it's wrong to possess earthly treasure, but what he is saying is it's wrong to lay it up for self. It's wrong to consume. It's wrong to take all of your resources to have all of that, right? There's a balance there. And God wants us to be in balance, both earthly and heavenly. Be in balance. Earthly treasures, or in other words, earthly materials, are temporary and fading away. That's why we can't get too caught up in our earthly stuff. Remember what he said? It turns to moth and rust, right? Everything. Things are temporary. We're temporary. Our things are temporary. And so they're not meant to last forever. And I think the return of Jesus, the rapture, look at this verse on the screen, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both earth and the works of it will be burned up. One day this earth is going to be destroyed. Jesus is coming back. There'll be the rapture, and then heaven will come down on earth for a 1,000-year reign. The things that were here don't matter. The things that we accumulate are gone. Material things are not the secret to our happiness. I think of the hoarders. Why do they buy? Why do people shop when they're depressed, lonely, or anxious? It's for temporary satisfaction, but it's not a secret to happiness. More is not always better, despite what the world tells us. You know this saying, guys, help me finish it. He who dies with the most toys does what? Does what? Wins. Yeah, that's like, it's a funny saying, really. It's kind of like a man thing, you know. Oh, I got toys in my garage. You got to come over and see them. That's funnier. But let me ask you a question. Do we really win? we don't really win. I don't know where that saying came from. No, we don't win. Why? Because God says, you're not a winner. You're a fool. You're a fool. Our earthly material treasures will not pass from this life to the next. Look what 1 Timothy 6 says, but godliness and with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And my challenge in balancing here tonight, church, is that if we're heavenly minded and we're storing up our treasures in heaven, then that's permanent. That's secure. It's the most secure investment that you'll ever do on earth. We don't take our earthly treasures with us when we die. And here's the truth. Listen to this. You're going to like this. We leave it for garage sales, estate sales. Oh, and yeah, our families who fight over and pursue lawsuits against each other to gain ownership of our wealth that we left behind. Sometimes when we leave our wealth behind and we don't identify it, families fight over that. They're greedy. I think about all the junk that I've collected. You know, every time we move, I go, throw this junk out. We're not moving it from one house to the next. I just started throwing stuff out of our garage again. I finally unpacked our garage after 2 years. My wife is looking at me. I wait till she goes to work and then I throw stuff out on garbage day. So we collect stuff. We think there's value, but you know what? The kids, when we die, the kids are going to go through our stuff and go, what on earth did they save that for? Right? And it's funny. We have to laugh at ourselves. I told you we have a desire to collect and accumulate, and our kids don't care. But if our treasure is found in the priority of building the kingdom, helping spread the gospel, then we'll find eternal results. Now, the next verse that we're going to look at here, verse 22, I think it's very interesting because most likely it appears that Jesus is kind of changing subjects abruptly. And I was like, what in the world is Jesus talking about here? Because I could probably, you ever pull out a scripture and you go, well, I think this is what it says, so I'll teach that. You can't do that when you're going verse by verse. You actually got to study the word and go, why is Jesus saying this right here? And he's going to sandwich it right between how we end the service tonight with a verse. He's sandwiched it right in here. So what you think he's talking about, he really isn't, and we'll read it. But I looked at some of what the commentators believe Jesus is, and I believe that after looking at some of the commentators, Jesus is warning us not to covet. That word covet, he's going to talk about covetousness here now. Everybody knows what covet is. It means to crave, to desire, to envy, to want what someone else has. Like, I want that vet. If they buy it, I want it, right? But it's to covet. And it means that Jesus is warning us not to covet the things that will cost us or distract us from being heavenly invested. So verse 22, let's read it. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So God's word warns us not to covet anything of the world that the world would have to offer. Look up in Exodus, the Old Testament. This will kind of give us an idea of what that looks like. Exodus 20, one of the Ten Commandments, he says, you shall not what? You see that word? Covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant. Or his, in other words, staff, employees, business owner for today's world, or his female servant, or his ox. Okay, that's the brand new SUV we're going to talk about. Or his ox, or his donkey, his tractors for the farm, whatever, if you came from up north. Or anything that is your neighbor's. God is saying, this is what he's saying. He's like, if your eyes distract you and you're focused on something that you want, we have a tendency to keep thinking about it. Let me give you an example. Ever get envious of your neighbor's new car in the driveway or his new boat? Come on, anybody? Ever get envious of a motorcycle? Ever get envious that your neighbor's moved out and they bought a new house? Or maybe they put in a new pool? Something, we all get envious at times. Probably the younger we are, the more aspiring we are, It's a challenge. I think when we get older to a certain age, we're like, I don't want the hassle. Larger house is more electric. A pool takes time to clean. Chemicals are $90 a month. The big yard, the property takes a lot to mow. The older we get, we're kind of like, just let me downscale. Let me downsize, right? But the younger we are, it's like it drives us. It's like, well, I can have that. I can have what he has. I want what he has. I recently, about a couple years ago, and I love this man, and he serves the Lord. Y'all know him. But he invited us over. He's a football fan, and he's got a team that he just goes berserk, NFL team he goes berserk over. And he's like, hey, man, I want to have you over and watch a game with your boys when football season starts. So we went over to his house. Now, this guy's meticulous, okay? We walk into his house, okay? And it's maybe a 1,300 square foot home, not a big home, just very, you know, all, the rest of their life, it's like, I couldn't believe it. And we walk into this room and it's like, oh, 102 inch flat screen TV. When 102 inch was cool, 70 wasn't even out yet, guys, okay? And he had this amazing surround sound. And you could hear it seemed like the football game was happening. It was like the Oaks Theater. It was like going to, you know, the Cinemax HD. And we sat there, and when I left there, I could not get that experience out of my mind for nothing. And it was football season. And I gotta tell you, that didn't leave my mind for years until 70-inch screen TVs came out and Sam's had them on sale at Christmas time for $634. I could finally afford a 70-inch. I recently went to Best Buy. Did you know that they have a 130-inch flat screen TV out now? It looks like a wall. Yeah. I looked at the price, $9,000. But see, I'm older, so I don't covet that anymore. I got my 70-inch TV. I'm happy with it. I don't have a 70-inch TV. But you know, it's easy to covet, isn't it? It's easy to want or desire or to picture yourself having something that maybe God doesn't want you to have at the time, or it's for that person, rejoice in it, invite yourself over, bring over snack food and watch his TV. The problem with covetousness is we focus a whole lot of energy trying to figure out how to purchase that new boat, that new house, that new car. Sometimes we even think if I work two more jobs, if I stop giving at church, if I don't fund or go on a mission trip, if I stop attending church because I can work a second job and I work all the time, I can gain and have what Joe Schmo has. And God says in this verse, he's reminding us, he says, be careful, be careful. The eyes can lead to covetousness, and your whole body, it leads the body to darkness. Wrong motives, wrong reason, wrong steward of how to handle our money. So the question is, are we storing up for earthly treasures, or are we focused on heavenly investment in our walk and our wealth and what God's given us? Look at verse 24, our final verse. And then we'll close it up. This is rich. I know you've heard this. Maybe you've quoted this. Verse 24, no one can serve two what? Masters. In other words, Lord. Something that lords your life. Jesus was our master, Lord, teacher. So this verse, master, is what is lording your life? What is Lord over your life? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. He's setting the tone of our approach of balance, what we're to do. You cannot serve both what? God and money. So the challenge in verse 24 is, how are you gonna handle your wealth? How are you gonna handle what God's given you? You cannot be on the fence on this one. God is forcing us to make a decision. And for us tonight, we need to make a decision on how we're gonna look at money. We're either gonna do what God says to do and trust that, or we're not. We're either gonna be focused on money and wealth and accumulation over here because that's our heart. Remember, we're talking about a heart thing. Or we're gonna focus on God and how we trust him and abide in him and trust him with these things. We have to make that decision. I wrote this down. Listen to this. Think about this. Don't serve your money. Let your money serve the Lord and it will serve you. Let me say that again. Don't serve your money. Let your money serve the Lord and it in return will serve you. When we begin to see our money as a resource that God wants to use to provide for our needs and to serve him, that's when we will only serve one master. Look at the danger up on the screen, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. This is a clear warning. Those who want to get rich, here's the heart, right? Serve money or serve God. Those who want to get rich, what are they serving? Money, because they want to get rich. Their heart is desire to get rich. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Here we are. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Notice it's not saying money is evil. Money is not evil. How we choose to be stewards over it is the difference between evil and good. And so don't misquote that. A lot of people misquote that. For the love of money is the root of all evil, kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That verse warns us tonight that if we serve the master of money, the result is that we will fall away from our faith. If we serve the master of money, we become useless to God. Many of us have had very close friends. I want you to think about this. Many of us have had very close friends that we served with in church. This church has been here for 10 years now. Many have come, many have gone. Many reasons why they came, many kind reasons why they went. But I bet you could think of a couple or one person that was dedicated, committed. His heart was to serve God. They were on fire. They were doing the Lord's work and they were faithful at one time and they ran into money. And eventually they were distracted and they're no longer interested in the things of God. They slowly stopped coming to the services on a regular schedule. And now today they're no longer in church. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." So church, it's a clear warning tonight. What are we thinking about? What consumes us? What do we think we need to have? And I want to show you something here. Many of you know that I'm a Ford fan. I love Ford. Amen, Jim. Amen. That's a big amen. Wake up. That was for you. He wasn't sleeping, I'm joking. I love Ford products. I love Ford. And if you got a tribe full of people, kids, and I know Ryan and his wife are here tonight, you got a whole bunch of kids. And so I want to show you a picture of this SUV. This is a Ford Exposition 2019 Platinum. And that is one sweet ride. And when that came out, I know some of you are on Facebook and you see that video of that camera that pans back and you got all those sunroofs, someone with me, you got the movie screens and the headrest and the fine leather. Look at the interior of that. You know what? If I was a family man and I had 12 kids, I'd buy that thing because that's cheaper than buying plane tickets. I'd drive all the way to New York in that thing. Look at that thing. You want to know what the sticker price of this car is? $78,872. And that might not even come with a tank of gas, right? But I want to tell you the truth. If I'm not careful, I can let that material possession distract me greatly from the Lord's work, the Lord's calling that he's placed on me. If I wanted to, I could sell things. I could downscale. I could drive that thing if I wanted to. I'd find a way. Amen? You would too. Some of you could liquefy real quick to drive that if you really wanted it. But we see things like that and it chases us. Now, here's the balance. I want you to understand this. If you have that vehicle, praise God, let me ride in it. Let me borrow that on my summer trip because we got to go to Texas maybe for my son for college. But if you have that, God bless you. I don't want you to feel guilty. But remember, it's about balance. God doesn't want us to suffer while doing his work for the kingdom. That's my whole point. If you got a nice vehicle, praise God. God doesn't want us to suffer. I have another couple pictures up here. Anybody recognize this family? I was thinking of family SUVs, and this is the first thing that came to my mind, right? Here's another SUV you may recognize. The wood panel station wagon, right? Yeah. You get the balance. God doesn't want you to have to drive that. He doesn't want us to suffer. There's a great balance when we talk about our life, our wealth, and how we choose to use it. Scripture says that if God can trust us to be faithful with the little that he's given us, then he can trust us even with the greater. Let me read to you Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little, Jesus said, can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? You know what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, what I'm giving you, are you going to obey me in that area? Are you going to be a conduit? Remember we talked about being a conduit. Everything that flows in, if you let it flow out and be a good conduit, he'll flow more. This is what he's saying here. But if you can't be trustworthy with what I give you, then I can't give you much. Write this down. I have it up on the screen. You'll see this on Facebook as you leave here tonight. It's not wrong to possess things, but it's wrong for things to possess us. That's the balance. So in conclusion, what have we learned tonight from this text that Jesus is teaching? Look up on the screen. Patricia, you can leave that up there the whole time, that slide. First thing I want to talk to you about is balance. Can I first honor God in his kingdom with his resources he has given me before my stuff? What does that look like? We need to take time tonight, take a moment, and just reflect and evaluate what God has gracefully given you and I. And then ask him, God, am I honoring you in what you have given me, or am I deemed a fool and need to honor you more? And that's personal. Have that conversation with God. Evaluate where you're at. The next one, evaluate. This is a good one. If I make this purchase, will it enslave me? What do I mean by enslave me? Will it put me out of balance? Will it take me away from giving a tithe? Or will it take me away from paying my bills? Or will it take me away from spending time with my family because I have to get a second job because of what I just purchased? So evaluate everything. Taking time from serving people, God's people, the church. You're working all the time to manage and pay for our earthly possessions. You're stressed out financially. And you limit your ability for God to use you for his greater purpose. You don't have time because you're too busy taking care of what you have. There's a season where I had a pool and a yard and a nice truck, and I'd spend my whole weekend washing, wax the truck, clean the pool, mow the grass, and Sunday night was here and I had to go back the next morning. It was when I was an unbeliever. That was my priority. It was my priority. It was that I. And then God got a hold of me. He says, no, balance, priority. Evaluate which master you will serve, God or money, tonight. Motive. Ask yourself this question. Why am I spending my resources on this? Is it to fulfill a selfish desire to keep up with the Joneses? Or is it trying to fulfill a void that only God can fill? I think of hoarders. Fulfilling the desire, a void that only God can fill. And then finally tonight we learned, and I think this is the most important one we learned, is purpose. In other words, what's God's purpose for what he's given you? How does my resources have an eternal impact? I just jotted down a few things. I was reflecting on this. Giving through tithes because we see God bring people to services and needs arise in the ministry. Our church is growing. God is going to do exciting things in the next 2 years. I promise you. I know he's on the move. I know he wants to do something. We're trying to open up children's ministry on Saturday. We need people to make a commitment for 6 months. We want to be able to provide more space on Sunday. God's doing things. Are you going to be available? Are you going to be kingdom builders? Are you going to get on board with what God's doing? Not what I think he's doing. Not what I want you to do. Not for my ego, but for what God's doing. What does God want you to do? How does he want you to invest? What's his purpose with your time? Be available. Sometimes we have men that just need godly men to come around them. They're at a low season. They're challenged. If you're not available with your time because you're always working, then you'll miss out on being available for a young man going through a hard time who's in need of discipleship with another Christian man. But there are no men who are available except for the pastor. Well, the pastor will do it. He doesn't do anything all week except Sunday, right? Invest in time. Are you investing your time and resources in an antique car that will turn to rust? Or are we making ourselves available to invest in people, maybe the ones who have been discipled, to impact many, many more for the kingdom when you're far gone and home with the Lord? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this verse, for this text tonight. God, this message isn't to condemn us, and I hope that it wasn't received that way. I certainly didn't want, you didn't teach it this way. I don't believe that you were crucifying, but I think it was, Lord, you want us to really examine and to be in balance, God. And so there's those of us in this room that are in a financial need. They have bills. And God, if that's them, God, I just pray that you would give them your wisdom. I pray that you would provide the resources. I pray that you would give them your wisdom, that we don't say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. But Lord, that we look to you and say, Lord, how do you want me to do this? How are you going to fulfill the needs to pay my bills? Maybe for those who are in debt, God, help them, give them wisdom. And then Lord, maybe there's those that maybe for the first time when they evaluate themselves, they're like, I really have been given much, or what I have, it's enough. And I'm not honoring you through the scriptures that we read tonight. But Lord, most of all, I know that your heart is that you want us to focus on our heavenly treasures, our time, our resources, and what we're doing with that, our lives, our health. Lord, speak to us. I don't know what that looks like, but I pray that as you speak to us tonight, we would just meditate upon that. I pray that many would just maybe come to us pastors. Maybe they want to have a meeting, a conversation, that we're here to help them, that we want to help them through that, Lord. For those that desire to honor you with their finances, God, if there's something that's hindering them, Lord, we have resources. We have a pastor that's his wheelhouse. He's very good at that, Pastor Craig, that you would reach out through email, that he would take that time, that we would get you past that point, because we know that there's joy. Lord, we know that you bless when we honor your word, not just in our tithing, but just in our life. You said not to be just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. So Lord, tonight, help us be doers of what we learned tonight. We thank you for all those that are here. We just pray for those listening to our podcast right now. We pray for all those that are all around now the United States visiting, vacationing, that will click in, check on this. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Teach us, change us, conform us more to the image of you as we take each part of our life and subject it to you through these verses week by week. It's no wonder that this series this year is called Transform Church, Transform Life. Lord, we pray that you continue to transform us on Wednesday nights. And we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen. Thank you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Sebastian podcast channel. If this message impacted your life, we encourage you to share it with a friend. We're located at 1251 Sebastian Boulevard, just northeast of intersection 90th Avenue and State Road 512 in Sebastian, Florida. Our service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m., Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m., and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.